Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Tell me now. Fall fire. Fall teacher, y'all. Come on. You preacher, stop preaching what you teach. Teach the truth. Wake up, preacher.
Abruptly. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your girl, your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. And this evening, I have a special guest co-host, Miss Kane. But before I get into that, I'd like to wish everybody a happy Friday and hope everything's going well for you. And I'm quite sure everybody's been keeping up with the Trayvon and the George Zimmerman case out of Florida. The guy has finally been arrested, so there are some progress that people who put their voices in it and was persistent got this done, even though they're claiming that it wasn't that. But we all know that that's what had happened. He was arrested because there was so many, the outcry from the people is what got this guy arrested. And hopefully justice will be served to him, even though in my heart I don't see that happening, because it's just so sad how this thing happened and how everybody's rallying around Zimmerman because he's here lying about his half of the story when Trayvon is dead, buried in the ground, and he can't defend himself. Even though the witnesses that are out there and speaking up, they're even ignoring what they have to say about it. So, you know, we're just going to rally around and just continue to hope and pray that this guy get the justice that is served to him. And tonight's topic is Forget Trayvon, Are You Serious? Because a lot of people have been calling into Michael Bass' show, sending him emails and, you know, calling in saying, you know, just forget about it and, you know, it's done, it's over with. You know, and that's the problem now, that we as a people, we give up, we give in, and we don't stick and stay. So I'm glad that the people that did stick and stay, stuck and stayed, and the people who didn't, shame on you. You know, because it could have been your child if you have any children. And the majority of the people, I think, probably don't have children or are not that concerned about their children or just not that concerned, period. So, you know, my hat goes off to the people who stuck and stayed and made sure that this thing is going to go to where they wanted to go. And that was to see justice brought to Zimmerman as far as having him locked up. So he is locked up, and we are going to get on with that topic as soon as I bring my guest co-host in. Miss Kane.
Hey, Dallas.
Hey, how you doing this evening?
I'm Gucci. How you doing?
Girl, I am fired up, you know, because I was on the internet and I was also seeing a lot of cases that, you know, police brutally murdering black people, you know, and actually getting away with it, because people were saying, well, this person got killed. How come they didn't rally around this person? How come they didn't rally around that person? And I really think that the reasoning for that is because, you know, the media plays a lot in these things, and they let things get out what they want to get out. And, like, I saw this on YouTube, you know, a couple of cases. A guy in Oakland, California, George Grant, was killed by a Metro cop. This guy was handcuffed with his hands behind him, and they grabbed him. He was sitting up against the wall. They pulled him from the wall, threw him down on his face, and the cop, and they showed this on, you could actually see this on YouTube. The guy threw him down and shot him in the back, killing him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just shot him. And, you know, I know that's probably justifiable homicide, but the guy was handcuffed. Nothing he could do, nothing he was doing, you know. And another guy, George T. Williams, was killed in Seattle, Washington. I forgot how that one went down, but I watched that one. But the saddest one I watched was a guy, Jesse L. Williams, was beaten to death by 10 policemen in a police precinct. 7 of the policemen were white. 3 of them was black. Of the 3 black ones, 1 of them was a black policewoman. They kicked this man. What had happened was he was locked up. And his hands was handcuffed behind him. So he had said something, a commentary or somebody was saying what had happened. He had said, if you take these handcuffs off me, we can go for it. I think he said that to one cop. So they took the handcuffs off him and told him to take all his jewelry and stuff and put it up on the counter. So he did that, and they told him to take his shoes off. When he bent down to take his shoes off, one of the cops kicked him in the face, knocked him down. Then it was on. They was kicking, beating. Then they put one of those spit masks on him and raised it up and was macing him. Then they had handcuffed him back up. They beat this man to death. Then they put him in one of those chairs, restraining chairs. And it was just, it made me sick to my stomach just watching that. All of them was found guilty. One of them pleaded not guilty. Well, all of them pleaded guilty except for one. 2 of them pleaded not guilty. But, you know, all of them was guilty. Every one of them that put their hands on that man and caused his death, literally beating him to death. You know, so these are the types of things that we're facing every day with the law enforcement and Zimmerman claiming to be a neighborhood watch, carrying a gun, you know, scouting people out and killing this young man, Travion, you know, because he felt like it. You know, and then we have people, you know, black people saying, forget about it, you know, let it go. That's the problem right now. We've been letting it go. We've been sweeping it under the rug. We've been letting them do this and do that to us. So now is the time, this is the time for people to stand up and say enough is enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, telling how many other Travion's out there, how many other George Grant's out there, how many John T. Williams are out there, and Jesse L. Williams are out there, because we're not seeing those. We don't even know, you know, the people that these policemen have killed and got away with, because it's always justifiable homicide. When the police kill somebody, it's justifiable homicide. You kill a policeman, you're either going to get one, beat to death by the police, or you're going to get life. You know, you're not going to get away with that. There's no justifying in killing a policeman, even in self-defense.
Exactly.
You know, so enough is enough. And it's just like we're still being lynched. We're still being lynched, but the weapon is different. It's guns.
Mm-hmm.
They just shoot you, you know, on sight. They shoot you because they have that authority. They're given a gun and a badge, and they take it too far. I don't like the police.
I don't either. I don't really have no respect for them. And, you know, ever since I heard about this, and, you know, we just wrapped up doing my show last night, and I didn't get to say quite a few things that I wanted to say. So I took some time out the night before we got this show started to jot down a couple things or whatever, but you're right. You made a comment last night about we're still living in bondage.
Yeah.
And we are.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It makes you not even want to be a part of this world, to be honest with you, because we see this type of stuff all day, every day. And I think this is really, I'm not going to say maybe the first time, but I'm just going to say the first time that I've seen as many black people come together and protest and say, okay, enough is enough. We done had enough. You look at how they did poor Rodney King. Even though Rodney King did some other stuff behind, you know, after he got beat and maybe he had a record or something, even when he was he went through the ordeal of getting beat. But at the end of the day, it didn't take all of that force.
Right.
So, like I said last night, we as black people have got to the point where we're tired of seeing this stuff go down the way that it goes. We're tired of it. And it's time to take a stand and keep taking a stand. And, you know, my thing to all these stupid black people, they're talking about, you know, stop talking about it, and, you know, we being too emotional about it. You know, I hope that you don't get into this situation where it might be your child or somebody's child that you know. Because at the end of the day, if it does happen, don't look for me to try to, you know, come and take a stand against, especially if I know that you are a black person that have said something about we need to let it go, or, you know, I didn't see them talking about Pookie and Ray Ray when they got shot in the hood. That ain't got nothing to do with this. I mean, if them people got shot on, you know, black-on-black crime, that's something totally different. And even if it did happen before, this was just a time where I feel like I say again, people said, okay, enough is enough. We need to come and take a stand. But I would not stand behind any black person that sits up here and want to turn a blind eye to what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't understand how could you not want to get involved. How could this not affect you? And, you know, like I said, I wrote down a couple of things, and I'm going to say them, you know, real quick. You know, I seen where they're talking about the judge in the case. She is trying to recuse herself. And I don't know why they're using such stupid words. She's trying to remove herself, and that's for all the from a hood folks that's listening tonight on Mom Duke's show. It, like, what is recuse?
Yeah.
It's like excuse. But basically she's trying to remove herself from the case because, quote unquote, her husband works for the law firm that Zimmerman People's First contacted to get him a defense attorney or get him an attorney or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just really feel like this woman, that might not even be the real reason. I think that she doesn't want to have anything to do with this case. And I don't blame her. And I know that he has to have some type of legal representation or whatever, but at the end of the day, as an attorney, if I was one, I wouldn't defend him because he was in the wrong. Now they're talking about he's been weeping his first night in jail. He's been weeping and crying and all of this stuff, and now he wants to talk to Trayvon's parents. What do you possibly... You got the balls. I'm talking about the nerve of this man. You got some nerve to want to speak to his parents. What you want to speak to them now for, so they can come and try to have some sympathy for you?
Yep.
Oh, girl, this really pisses me off.
Yeah, it's a sad situation because he's locked up now. Everything's wrong with him. He's sick. He's crying. He's sad. He's this. He's that. All he had to do that night was like the police said for him to do, and he would not be in the situation that he's in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem. He's sick and he's sad because he killed that boy, and he know it was wrong. He knows that he was wrong.
Right.
So I hope he cries his eyeballs out. I hope somebody give him a reason to cry while he's in jail.
Hey, I think, like I said before, eye for an eye. You was man enough to take a life, then somebody need to take your life. I'm sorry. You know, I know a lot of people were probably going to say that's not the way that we solve stuff. Well, it might not, but I'm just a different breed of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, bottom line. And, you know, basically, if his attorney... And this is what I wanted to say last night on my show. If his attorney is able to prove that he was acting in self-defense at that very moment, he will walk. And I am afraid to see that happen because I know that things will get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, all these people out here trying to justify talking about, you know, we done started marches and petitions and rallies and stuff, and we don't even know the whole story. It really don't take a rocket scientist to understand what really went down. Like this one, and I know he got to be somebody that's maybe a little bit racist. I'm not going to just try to throw the band up under the bus completely. I was watching the Nancy Grace show tonight, and this dude, Mr. Taffy, I don't know who he is, but a woman had called into the Nancy Grace show, and she says that, okay, how was Trayvon, how did he attack Zimmerman if he had Skittles and tea in his hands at the time? Well, this Mr. Taffy dude said that, oh, no, he had him in his hoodie. He had him in his hoodie. And see, while he was walking away from Zinnamon, he turned around and he went back. So that's what he chose to attack Zinnamon. So we need to just forget about such and such. First and foremost, if that had been your grandchild, your son, you wouldn't be talking about forget about nothing. And mm-hmm. how the hell you know that he had he didn't have his drink and his soda, well, the Skittles in his hand at that time? You don't know.
Nobody knows what happened, but Zimmerman and
Trayvon. He just
want to
take sides with this man. Go ahead, Mom. Mm-hmm.
I was just saying. Nobody knows what happened, but Trayvon and Zimmerman, and, you know, there was another witness. But, see, here's the thing with the police. Since Rodney King, you know, ever since everybody's been using these webcams, cameras, and whatever to film these crimes when they're committed, ever since Rodney King, they try to distort a person's thought pattern when they actually are seeing something. They try to change it around because just like they kept saying that Rodney King, look closely, he's trying to get up, he's trying to fight back. He was not trying to fight back. He was trying to get away from all them sticks, kicks, and punches. That's what he was doing. But they set up in that courtroom and changed people's perception of that tape, just like they changed the lady's perception when she said, they asked her, who was it that sounded like they were screaming down there? She said, well, it sounded like the younger man. She said the older guy, you know, his voice was heavier. It sounded like the younger guy. When the police came, they told her that it was Zimmerman who was doing the hollering. So then she said, well, I thought it was the younger man's, but if it was Zimmerman's, I guess it was. Trayvon's mother knows how he sounds. I've never heard Trayvon's voice in my life, but I know one thing, that was not Zimmerman's voice. I do know that. And the fact of the matter, he was talking to his girlfriend. Why aren't they taking that into consideration? She was on the phone. The conversation was recorded. You know, and all these people are coming forth that actually know what had happened, had actually seen what had happened. But the police department and everybody's distorting it and trying to make it the way that they want it to be so Zimmerman can get off with it. That's what that is all about. And if it goes to court and they find that, you know, it's self-defense. And another thing, how can it be self-defense when Trayvon had a bag of Skittles and a canned soda? Zimmerman had a gun. When it's self-defense, I always thought it was self-defense. Like if you had a gun, I had a gun. But I got to my gun first and I killed you. That's self-defense. You got a knife, I got a knife. I stab you first, that's self-defense. You got a soda and a bag of Skittles, and I got a gun. That don't even add up. So how did this self-defense thing come? Stand your ground or whatever. I don't care. That is not self-defense in nobody's eyes. Helen Keller can see it. Stevie Wonder can see it. So I can't understand why the judicial system down there can't see it. No, they can see it, but they don't want to see it.
No, they don't. And just like you said, they want to try to make everything fit their reasoning and their understanding, fit what they want stuff to just be made to look good in a certain perspective. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I guess we're just supposed to just not care, brush this up under the rug like we've been doing stuff. You know, I mean, I'm just so tired of people talking about, oh, I feel sorry for Zinnamon. I have no damn sympathy for him or his family. I feel like somebody should have been shot and killed him. That's how I feel. And then, too, you know, maybe some retaliation should have went out towards the family because you got the father and the brother sitting up here talking smack. That man chose. He targeted Trayvon. You can hear it in the doggone 911 call. That's all you got to do is just listen to the 911 call. I don't understand why we have to keep explaining this 911 call to people. Are you stupid? Are you blind? Let me tell you something. When dispatch, because they talk about dispatch, no matter what dispatch told him, dispatch is not the law. Yes, they are. Are you serious? I personally have took a visit to the police department because I was, you know, going to be a correction officer one time. We had took a test or whatever, and we had to go to the police department to do like a tour and stuff of different things or whatever. And at the time when I went, I seen police sitting over there at the dispatch, you know, place or whatnot. And so how you going to try to say that the dispatch was not law enforcement? It doesn't matter. They are a part of law enforcement, and they have to give information to law enforcement. So if he told him, and I was going to say you, but if he told a man, do not follow, that's what he should have done, is yeah. stay where he was. But he took it upon himself thinking he going to get some damn cool points for going and trying to play cop around here. You don't have no badge. You don't mm-hmm. have none of that. You ain't went to school to be no police officer. Come on, neighborhood watchman. You lucky you ain't from where he went, where I was from, where I'm from. You lucky.
He's lucky he wasn't from Southeast.
So, honey, let me tell you something. In Miami, you'd have ran up on one of them little goons down there. They'd have blew your head off and wouldn't have asked no questions. Mm-hmm. They ain't finna ask you no questions. What?
And I also, I also think that the police, the law enforcement, they need to go through a whole rigmarole of training, because they deal with people on the shoot first. Type of thing. Okay, when you are up against someone who has an epileptic seizure or somebody who's a diabetic and they're acting out or they're being irrational, you're not supposed to just go up and shoot and kill them. You know, you can tase them. You can tase them or you could shoot them in the leg or something, but you go and shoot them in the head, shoot them in their chest, shoot them in vital organs that you know are going to fail. You know, they need to be trained a little better than what they are. And there should be laws against them as well as they got laws against citizens. If a policeman kills somebody, then he should get the time just like if a citizen kills somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they have it just so that everything that a police do is always justifiable. Then they have the police that are quiet, the ones who won't speak up against his fellow policemen if they do their snitch or whatever. But I'm going to tell you something. If I was a police and I was dedicated to my job, honest about what I was doing, and they was doing crime around me, they would probably put me in protective custody or something, because I'd be telling everything.
Right. And let's just say for the same face that Trayvon did attack him. Okay. You walking up on this dude, you claim it was raining and all of this stuff. He don't know who you were. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You never identified yourself, because I heard some stupid fool talking about some, he should have told Zimmerman what he was in the neighborhood for. Hey, come on now.
Why do you need somebody
to be trying to explain why they somewhere?
In the neighborhood?
Say what?
Why does he have to tell somebody who's following him what he's doing in the neighborhood? Zimmerman should have said, you know, what are you doing around here? And then maybe he could have said, well, I'm on my way home to my father. My father lives around here. I'm on my way home. And he could have said, oh, okay, well, I just was checking because I thought maybe, you know, I didn't know who you was. I'd never seen you in this neighborhood before, but, you know, you're just going about your business. But, see, Zimmerman, he planned to kill somebody that night.
He sure did.
He planned to kill somebody. He probably was out or looking out his window all night hoping somebody would come along, and just so happened Trayvon came along, and he goes out and he killed him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to kill that boy. So he did it. Now he's a broken man or whatever. He's crying and acting like a fool, you know, but whatever. He brought it on himself, and he deserves to suffer for it. He deserves to cry. He deserves to be afraid. And he deserves to get time. And I just hope and I pray that he gets the time that he deserves. Not no probation, not no time served, not no 2 or 3 years, but time, some serious time. Because one thing was certain, two things are for sure. Trayvon will never walk the earth again.
Never.
But he's in jail. He's still living and breathing and eating every day. You know, so he never needs to walk the streets again. That's how I feel about it. Because if you kill somebody intentionally, you kill somebody while robbing them, you kill somebody maliciously, you kill somebody other than self-defense, then you don't deserve to be walking the streets. You don't. But if you kill somebody self-defense, that's a whole different story.
And it is.
But see, there was no self-defense going on with that scenario there. And like I said, Helen Keller and Stevie Wonder can see that.
And then, you know, going back to, like, how all these black people sitting up here, well, I ain't going to say all these black people because it's only a selective few that's
mm-hmm.
trying to, like, you know, talking about, like, the one guy talking about, I ain't been following it. I mean, okay, dude, you clearly making yourself look like an idiot. But, you know, to the ones that's sitting up here and talking about, you know, we need to forget about it, again, I have to keep addressing them because I don't understand how you could feel that way. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I'm not in a world where we're separated and we live on one side of the loop with idiots like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, those are people who have no compassion and people who really don't care about life, or probably people who don't have children or just, you know, just don't care about other people. You see what I'm saying? Because it's no way in the world. I've never met Trayvon. I've never met his parents. I don't know anything about him, but that stuff had affected me because, number one, I have a son. My son is 40, but he was 17 at one time. I have grandchildren, and I have nephews, and, you know, a whole gamut of people that it could have been them. You know, so people have to put yourself in his parents' situation, you know, losing a son. And so young, they just killing them so young. They're not even reaching adulthood.
Exactly. And see, I have a 7-year-old. And see, this is one thing. Like, I used to sit up and listen at my godmama. So this saying is basically what I get from her. My son already born with 2 strikes against him. Number one, he's black. Number two, he's a male. So
right.
That make it even much more harder for me to try to do my job as a parent to try to raise a positive and productive black man. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when you got to sit up here and worry about where your child is walking to, what type of clothes that child has on, it's a sad day.
Yeah.
And you know, most kids, that's what they do. They be out. He is 17 years old. He's not finna be sitting up here in some damn SpongeBob SquarePants fit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I don't understand. You want to try to target this child because he's wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo. And see, let me tell you something. Basically, they ain't said it, but this is what a lot of people, I really feel like they want to. They probably will in a minute. Some folks probably done said it. I just ain't heard it yet. But they want to try to make this hoodie and this baggy pants thing a black thing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a culture thing. It really ain't no... I'm going to say it's a young folks thing, not a culture thing. It's a young folks thing because
right.
that's what young folks do. This
right.
hip-hop clothing line and stuff, it originated with us, but look who has picked it up. You got Chinese kids, white kids that want to get out here and be part of the hip-hop era. All
yep.
these other different nationalities, you talk about how bad it is, but the blacks are not the only ones that's wearing hoodies and, like what your boy said, Geraldo, you know, I don't never
yeah.
say his name right.
Geraldo Rivera talking
yeah.
talking
you
about.
You know, you remember that little, what it was, the little cartoon character that you had to try to find in the map and stuff, Geraldo. That's what I've been
Waldo. Yeah. Geraldo Rivera says that blacks and Hispanics should not wear the hoods because it's a thing where they're targeted because that's what they wear that they rob and all this and that. But what about the Ku Klux Klans wearing their hoods, the children wearing those hoods? How come nothing's said about that? What they are doing, they're burning people out of their homes, lynching them, doing all kind of things. But that's okay
mm-hmm.
for them to wear their hoods. Where can you buy their hoods at? You see what I'm saying? So they need to be across the board. And everybody who wears a hoodie is not a thug.
And let's go back on something real quick. You know, like last night we were talking about how Zimmerman and his family is trying to raise money for bail and for his legal defense. And he's going to become probably rich because, like I said, everybody that sits up here and side with this dude, even his friend, I don't even know if this man was black. He looked like he was black in something else, you know what I'm saying? Because even though I'm multicultural over here, where I got some other mixtures and things going on in me, I can look at a person and tell when they got like a different national, different, I guess you could say, nationality, however you want to put it. In them. So the guy, I guess, that's supposed to be his friend, he didn't even step down and stop saying stuff. I'm wondering, is he going to be helping support Zinnemann and donate money to this website?
Child, please. That's ridiculous. And see, I don't think he can profit off of this, because remember this Casey Anthony, they didn't let her because they wanted to do movies and all this other kind of stuff, but she wasn't going to profit off of that. And, you know, she wasn't found guilty or anything. But if he's not found guilty, I don't think they'll let him profit off of it. But then again, I don't know. But I certainly hope not. If any money is made off of this, I hope it's donated to the Martin family. You know, I really do. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I have some information that I pulled up on the internet. It's about someone who wrote a letter with some information about us still being slaves and ignorance and greed and different things that we are still doing today. So when I come back, I'm going to read this paper to everybody after this break.
I still love you, just like I did before. But before you smiled and walked through the door, darling, I don't wanna cry. I don't wanna cry no more. No, darling, no more. You come and go like the morning sun. I was so serious, but you were having fun. Now, baby, now, I don't wanna cry. I don't wanna cry no more. No, darling, no more. Welcome to my lips. Welcome to my arms. Oh, welcome to my mind and heart. Girl, you are welcome to everything I have to offer you. So come on tonight, take it. Take any part. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, mama, I know I've been wrong. I need you. Come on home. But before you get here, I don't want to cry.
Okay, welcome back. That's Chuck Jackson, I Don't Want to Cry. And this evening, me and my guest co-host, Ms. Kane, are discussing Trayvon. Forget Trayvon. Are you serious? It's been a lot in the news about this going on, and finally Zinnemann has been arrested. So if anybody have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. And I'm going to read this information that I got off the internet. It's been in my save box since 2009. And this is exactly how it begins. I'm going to read it word for word. Okay. This really pissed me off. The fact that a man of Caucasian descent wrote this is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, every proportion of this piece is truth. people of color may get offended by the fact that a white man wrote this, but realize he just gave us all crucial information and how we can change things by pointing out the obvious we as a people don't want to acknowledge. Okay, it begins, "Dear Lee, they are still our slaves. We can continue to reap benefits from the blacks without the effort of physical slavery. Look at the current methods of containment that they use on themselves. Ignorance, greed, and selfishness. Their ignorance is the primary weapon of containment. A great man once said, the best way to hide something from black people is to put it in a book. We now live in the information age. They have gained the opportunity to read any book on any subject through the efforts of their fight for freedom, yet they refuse to read. There are numerous books readily available at Borders, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon.com, not to mention their own black bookstores that provide solid blueprints to reach economic equality, which should have been their fight all along, but few read consistently, if at all. Greed is another powerful weapon of containment. Blacks, since the abolition of slavery, have had large amounts of money at their disposal. Last year, they spent $10 billion during Christmas out of their $450 billion in total yearly income, 2.22%. Any of us can use them as our target market for any business venture we care to dream up, no matter how outlandish they will buy into it. Being primarily a consumer people, they function totally by greed. They continually want more, with little thought of saving or investing. They would rather buy some new sneakers than invest in starting a business. Some even neglect their children to have the latest Tommy or FUBU, and they still think that having a Mercedes and a big house gives them status or that they have achieved their dreams. They are fools. The vast majority of their people are still in poverty because their greed holds them back from collectively making better communities. With the help of BET and the rest of their black media, they often broadcast destructive images into their own homes. We will continue to see huge profits like that, like those of Tommy and Nike. Tommy Hilfiger has even jeered them, saying he doesn't want their money. And look at how the fools spend more with him than ever before. They'll continue to show off each other while we build solid communities with the profits from our businesses that we market to them. Selfishness, ingrained in their minds through slavery, is one of the major ways we can continue to contain them. One of their own, Du Bois said that there was an innate division in their culture, a talented temp, he called it. He was correct in his deduction that there are segments of their culture that has achieved some form of success. However, that segment missed the fullness of his work. They didn't read that the talented temp was then responsible to aid the non-talented 90% in achieving a better life. Instead, that segment has created another class, a buffy class, that looks down on their people or aids them in a condescending manner. They will never achieve what we have. Their selfishness does not allow them to be able to work together on any project or endeavor of substance. When they do get together, their selfishness lets their egos get in the way of their goal. Their so-called help organization seems to only want to promote their name without making any real change in their community. They are content to sit in conferences and conventions in our hotels and talk about what they will do while they award plaques to the best speakers, not to the best doers. Is there no end to their selfishness? They steadfastly refuse to see that together each achieves more, team. They do not understand that they are no better than each other because of what they own. As a matter of fact, most of those buppies are but one or two paychecks away from poverty, all of which is under the control of our pens and our office and our rooms. Yes, We continue to contain them as long as they refuse to read, continue to buy anything they want, and keep thinking they are helping their community by paying dues to organizations which do little other than have lavish conventions in our hotels. By the way, don't worry about any of them reading this letter. Remember, they don't read. And that, you know, what this person had, all these things on here, I really hate to say it, but they are true. They are definitely true because we don't read. I'm saying that as a whole, some black people, because one time I was in a beauty shop and I had my books and some guys was in, especially black men, they don't read and I don't know why. And I had asked them, you know, show them the books, and one guy said, no, I don't read. I said, you don't read? No, I don't read. I don't like to read. You know, but a lot of black men can't read. Believe it or not, they can't read. Dexter Manley, he just learned how to read when he was like in his 40s or whatever. And he was a football player. See, he was being used, and people don't understand that. A lot of those players, they can't read, they can't write, but if you can carry a ball, you can throw a ball, they're going to use you.
That's why I don't believe in interracial dating. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We learn from the best. Yes, you have a lot of black people that don't like to read, but you got just as many white folks that don't either, that are trailer park trash-ass folks.
That's
okay?
True.
The system, this food stamp and welfare, it was designed for them fools. It wasn't designed for minorities. The system is built up for us to fail as a whole, regardless. It's built up for us to fail. So if Tommy Hilfiger don't want nobody wearing his... See, look, me, I don't wear nobody's clothing line that done came and said that I don't want niggas to wear my shit. I would never. My kids better not bring Tommy up in my house. I don't buy Tommy. No, ma'am. And anyway, let's break this down, talking about, you know, me and my partners, we have discussions. Shout out to that dude up there, Alana. That's my boo right there. Okay, we have discussions about this all the time, how black people are the ones that are making these folks profit.
Mm-hmm.
Any label out here, they're profiting because of us. And let me tell you something. When I used to go buy a lot of Ralph Lauren, when I was young, I used to be on Ralph Lauren heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd go buy like a sweatshirt, $79. You see what I'm saying? Back
yeah.
then, that's how much it was going for at Parisians, because we had this place in the mall called Parisians. But the bottom line, you don't see white folks out there spending money on that stuff like that. No.
What they do
is they wait the shit go on sale. That's
well,
what they do.
They shop at thrift stores and discount stores and stuff like that. Like, that's what we should be doing. Because
yeah.
I don't buy designer clothes. I don't buy them because, number one, I feel that anything that I put on is going to look good. It don't have to be from Tommy Hilfiger, Ralph Lauren, Versace, and all those other places to make me look good.
Fashion
and it's just a
fashion.
Name. Versace. What did I say?
Versace. Okay.
Okay. But
Curry.
I'm just saying, my mother used to make our clothes, and my mother could have her own line of clothes. You hear what I'm saying? My mother could make clothes that could put some of those designers to shame.
But what I was going to say is, if black people are ignorant and you know, do stuff in the wrong way, and we, you know, sit up here and pride ourselves on Mercedes and big houses and stuff, where do we get it from? How can they talking about how manipulative we is and how we can't get along and how we what's that other word you said? Well, what you put out there that he mentioned in that story about something about I can't think of it right now, but let me just say this. White folks put stuff out here to make people be envious of other folks, making stuff like Bentleys, Maybach. Who the hell needs $1 million or $10 million car? That's number one. You ain't seen no black folks go and invent no stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we learn from the best. Who would be quick to put Mimi in a damn old folks home instead of taking care of her? Who would kill off their own kind for insurance money? They talk about, oh, greed. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Who, girl, greed epitome of greed. Everything they do, this country is ran behind greed. That's why we are in the situation that we're in right now. Gas prices high as hell. We could have our own oil over here and be, you know, profiting off of that. But no, they want to conduct business and try to save this and save that and want to be superior to all these other countries and stuff. White folks, they evil as hell. And they only good for doing business with. I don't care what nobody say. No, I ain't racist, but I put what's out there. I put the facts out there. They ain't good for nothing but being doing business and stuff with. Yes, you can get some white folks on your home team. They'll treat you probably better than some niggas will. Yes, they will. But at the end of the day, it's always an ulterior motive that they have. I don't give a damn if they grew up with black folks. Like all these black girls, now you got yourself a black dude. You think you're black. All these white dudes that run around with black dudes and stuff. Now you think you got the okay to go say the word nigga. Come on, let's keep it Gucci. We learn from the best. We've been taught to have a slave mentality. So at the end of the day, when it all boils down to it, they are the ones to blame. Who invented this credit stuff? Black folks ain't never cared about no doggone credit. And I'm not saying that to sound ignorant or whatever, but that was a form of a way for people to create a system where they can stay over in your business and see how you paying your bills. So at the end of the day, come on now, white folks, they're greed for stuff. That's just like they'll give you a credit card. Oh, yeah, your limit is $1,000. I got this book from this guy, and it's over there on my bookshelf now. And he says, you know what, whenever they give you credit cards and give you a limit and stuff, they giving you the money. You don't really have to pay that back to them. Because, number one, they're giving it to you. They'll send you credit cards in the mail. You don't even have to apply for them. If you don't fill out or got good standings with whoever you got an account with, let's just say the light company or the cable company or your cell phone company, they pull them records. Oh, well, we see that Delicious has been paying her bill on time for the last 3 years with Verizon. Let's go ahead and send her this Capital One credit card. So the minute you don't pay that bill on that damn Capital One credit card, guess what they want to do? They want to come in and start trying to mess up your credit. So at the end of the day, everything that a black person has done, basically, they profit off of. We don't profit. The air conditioner system, the red light. First open heart surgery was done by a black man. White folks, they done took that stuff and they done ran with it. We don't get no profit off of it. They do. Girl, don't get me started.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess it's a thing as see monkey, do monkey, but sometimes you have to separate yourself from, you know, being a follower and, you know, be a leader, because I'm surmising that's what they're speaking of. Because like you had mentioned, you know, with things that we basically follow behind somebody, a white person or sometimes even a black person, you know, like Martin Luther King and all them, they were like leaders to us. Not to say that, you know, they weren't doing anything that was profitable for us or, you know, looking out for us, but, you know, sometimes you have to be your own leader, you know.
I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be our own leaders, which we are. And, yes, some of that stuff is true. But just as much of what is true about what he's saying about the black community is the same way with white folks. It is not us being followers. We've been designated and designed and programmed to have a slave-like mentality all day. So, yes, the white man is to blame for that. Now, do I feel like, oh, the white man is to blame for why I can't get, you know, nowhere in life? No, but he definitely will hold you back. You got men and women that's minorities that come out here back into the real world after they done went to prison and stuff. They don't even allow these folks to have the right to vote. Why is that? Depending on the crime that they have or that they had.
It's a federal
crime.
Be
able to
you can't vote. Yeah,
but
if you
let
commit
it be
a
somebody
felony.
White. Come on now. They treat them totally different. This justice system is not designed for black folks. Because if that's the case, why did they execute poor Troy Davis when it was just circumstantial evidence? Mm-hmm. But they want to give people, like, you know what I'm saying, like, what's the dude that was running for president at the time? He could face up to life in prison, John Edwards. You know he ain't finna go do no damn jail time. They gonna give him a slap on the wrist because what he have done is a white-collar crime. And you got so many white folks going out here doing white-collar crimes, and they let them get off, just like with the Casey Anthony case. You know this bitch killed, excuse my language, you know she killed her child, but you gonna let her walk because the color of her skin. And matter of fact, she did walk. Come on, let a bit of black woman or a woman of color, some other color, they just threw her ass up under the jail.
Yep.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. I'm telling you.
That's the truth. And see, they have laws designed for the white man, and they have laws designed for just us. We have no justice with our laws because, like I had explained before, when as far as like the cocaine epidemic, before they had the rocks come along, because cocaine was basically a white man's pleasure, their drug of choice. And as soon as it was turned into the rock, and, you know, the blacks were selling it because it was cheap, a cheap high, and they could, you know, make a lot of money off of it, the laws changed. You get caught selling rock cocaine opposed to getting caught selling powder cocaine, you're going to get locked up for a long time for that rock. But if you're selling powder, it's all well and good. And, you know, mostly the whites was doing the powder. Not to say that they don't do the crack cocaine.
They do heroin because it's a rich man's high.
They wasn't targeting the white people as far as, like, doing the crack cocaine. It was targeting the blacks. That's what was going on with that. And they need to, like, laws need to go across the board as far as I'm concerned. I don't care which city, state you're in. If a person kills one person maliciously, violently, just, you know, out and out kill some person, and they say they get from whatever to life, somebody else kills somebody, they should get the same amount of time. You know, not, well, just in Florida, the laws are different. The laws are like this, the laws are this and this and that. That's why people move around and do things that they do. You can kill somebody here and go to Canada and live free. You see what I'm saying? So they need to have the laws across the board.
They do. But like I said, it is what it is, and that's just the way it goes. I mean, basically, we're up against a system. This stuff right here is bigger than us, and half
yes,
of this stuff, just like what them two dudes that was having that show that your boy called into, talking about, you know, it's a conspiracy theory. Hell, there's a lot of stuff out here that's a conspiracy theory. But until black folks start taking a stand and standing their ground, it doesn't mean just stand your ground right now with this Trayvon situation. It means continuing to do this stuff. That's why I always try to go, and I know how you feel about voting, and that's, you know, your own thing, and I don't look at you no different. But for me, that's why I always try to go out here and vote. I mean, it at once upon a time, I said, well, you know what, I ain't vote no more because, hell, they're going to put whoever they want in office, and everybody will sell you a dollar and a dream. Oh, we going to change this, we going to change that, we going to do this, we going to do that. No, you ain't.
Nothing.
You just talking, because let me tell you something. It's like when you look at some of these people that get up in, like, the Senate office and all this stuff, like your senators or your state, some of them folks going to dead broke, but why they come out being millionaires? Well, why they become millionaires while they're in there? You mean to tell me you making that much damn money being in the office? Well, let me go be in office. Because I got a strong opinion about some things. And I believe that, you know, if I should have went into politics as much as I like to run my mouth, but like I said, you can talk too much sometimes, and then guess what? Like with the Malcolm X and the Martin Luther Kings, when you talk too much and start putting forth a movement towards stuff, then you become a threat. That's why you got a lot of people, I would say, that's black that did not want to get out here and try to take a stand with stuff that they seen going on that they knew was wrong because they're scared. They're scared.
But let me say this, Reverend Al Sharpton, that man, I really don't know that much about him, but just, you know, seeing him around and knowing that the things that he's doing, this man has got to be passionate about what he does because his mother died. You know his mother died.
I'm familiar with him because his brother, matter of fact, is from Dothan, the one that I had on my show.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Kenneth Glasgow. That's his brother.
Right. So he didn't even go to his mother's funeral. And you know what he said? He said his mother
yes, he
would
did.
Want. He said that he didn't go home when his mother died. He said his mother would want him to do what he is doing, and that's to be there for Travion. So that's
really
that's passionate
like,
there.
It really do. It hurts my heart. And I really wish that we could, you know, come together as a race. And I really wish that we could stop seeing so much of this crap going on in this world, dealing with people just, you know, basically boo-booing on us because of the color of our skin. We done got a long way, but we really haven't got that far. That's why I say when I hear black men talking about, oh, the reason I'm going with this white woman is because black women is angry and this and that, you are the one that's angry because y'all done went through way more shit than we have. Black women, we was getting raped out there in them cotton fields and stuff. That's
mm-hmm.
why you got a lot of inbreed people walking around here.
Mm-hmm.
I am one. Because it shocked me when I found out my great-grandmama was Caucasian. I said, what? But
that
I
was
don't,
mine.
I don't even consider that, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, I never knew her, so it doesn't matter. But all
mm-hmm.
I'm saying is I don't believe in the interracial dating. If you want to be cool with white people, you know, being black, that's cool. But all this, I'm in love. I don't feel like I got nothing. There is not a white man that walked the face of this earth. I don't care how fine he is, and I do find white men attractive. But I'm not attracted to you in that manner. If you look
mm-hmm.
good, you look good. But we don't have nothing in common. You see
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I am black, Dominican, Cherokee, Indian, and like I said, my great-grandmama was Caucasian, and then probably some other stuff going on. But at the end of the day, I've only been raised with my black side, so that's what I look at. I'm not even that much into Dominican dudes. I'm not into them like that. So, therefore, I stick to my guns. I stick to what I'm used to. And if you want to go and think outside the box and try to say, oh, everybody is not like that. They don't have this mentality. Yes, they do deep down inside because let me tell you something. You see what happened with Tiger Woods' situation. That woman came and said, oh, I only married him because, you know, hey, it was what it was. It was for the money. It wasn't nothing for me to give him a couple coon babies. And that's what she said.
Mm.
Coon babies. Now
wow.
she's a paid bee walking around here. She's a rich bitch like Mimi.
Yes, she is.
But she's richer. But I'm just saying. So at the end of the day, it just doesn't fit well to do that. And I'm not trying to, you know, discourage anybody. I don't want you to think bad of me because of the way that I'm voicing my opinion. But that's how I feel. I love my black people. Like Mom Deuce, I can embrace Mom Deuce because she's like a mother. I can't embrace nobody else. You see what I'm saying? There's, you know, white, even with my godmother, she has been good to me. But at the end of the day, she has slipped up and said stuff that she knows she was wrong for.
Mm-hmm.
She knows it. And I do believe deep down inside that every white person thinks that black people are niggers. I really do.
Well, you know, we went from first being colored to being Negroes to being black to being whatever, you know. But my thing is I'm sticking with the fact that I don't think I'm an African-American because, number one, I'm not from Africa. My ancestors may have some ancestors that are from Africa. I don't know. But I'm not an African-American. I'm not black because the color of my skin is brown. So I really would consider myself as being Nubian. And I know that's another color for black, but that just sounds so, it sounds so much better. You know, that's what we would call back in the biblical days, Nubians.
And, you know, I get tired of them throwing titles on us and we take it and we run with it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Black people need to stop doing that crap. Y'all need to stop sitting up here just accepting what folks call y'all, like Negro, like how they put it on the censor. How you going to go all these years, you done went from African-American, well, from black to African-American, now we back to this Negro shit. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Who's
colored.
A Negro?
color.
Who's a nigger? Girl,
color.
I put on there, I am Kunta Kinte, and I was with Harriet Tubman back in the runaway slave movement, and I was born in 1825 BC. I did. Because you
I put
play,
my stuff
I'm
down. When they have other, I mark the other, you know, because I'm not going for that black and African American and, you know, but... You know, we just need to stand up, you know, because they white people are still considered white people. They ain't been called the pink people, the orange people, the pale people. You know, they always have been white people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we
and
went
you know,
home.
Like I was saying, I want to throw this at him before I forget it. What we had, well, what I had mentioned last night, all this racial stuff that we go through and what other races and white people do to us, we don't do none of that. You don't see black folks going out here wearing hoodies and coats and stuff, protesting like the KKK and all this other crap. You don't see that. You don't see us lynching folks. You don't see us doing none of that. What if blacks was doing it like how white folks and everybody else of a color? You know what? Let me just say this because I don't want to sound like I'm rambling. I find it very appalling that any other race that's not white would be against black folks because you are offspring of us.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very appalling. But like I said, you don't see black people going out here doing all that crap. We ain't doing that. Just like how they beat up gays and they kill gays and stuff. Yeah, you got people that's both black and white that does that, and that's wrong. You're not supposed to profile somebody because the way they choose to live their life. But we're getting profiled just because the color of our skin. It ain't even how we, it's not about how we living. It's about the color of our skin.
Yeah, that's all.
They so crazy. Why the hell y'all go to teddy bears and stuff? You're not happy within yourself. White
and get injections in their lips and butt and stuff.
Yeah. And then they, like this white girl made this video talking about black girls, they always wearing weaves and stuff. You know, y'all started it. Before the Chinese people started getting these shops and stuff up, you know, where you can go buy your little hair stuff at the Chinese place. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Who was doing it before them? White folks. You walk up in the weed store, it was a white woman in there running it. Or a white man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, girl, my blood be boiling.
Yeah, but, you know, getting back to the Trayvon situation, you know, just, you know, people need to be a little bit more compassionate and, you know, to extend whatever it is they can to his mom and his dad. You know, if it's no more than, you know, a sympathy, you know, letting them know that, you know, it touched your heart, you know. Just let them know that they have somebody that's rallying around them, someone who cares, and somebody who said enough is enough. You know, and enough is enough. This should be the end. This should be something that black people just take advantage of, you know, and get in there and don't just let things just happen like this, keep happening like this, not only with Zimmerman. You know, he's not the only one who's out here viciously killing, murdering, you know, blacks. These policemen are the same way, you know. And we need to rally up, educate ourselves, and just don't take it anymore. Because as long as we take it, as long as they're getting away with it, that's how much they're going to do it. But see, they had to arrest him. It wasn't nothing that they just said, "Oh, we're gonna arrest him." They arrested him because the voices were so loud. That's why they arrested him.
You're right. They had to because they felt the pressure coming down.
Mm-hmm. It was too much pressure. And then this is the election year too. Give me a break. They had to do something.
And they better do something as far as convicting that man, because if they don't convict him, they finna see, I'm telling you, they finna see some stuff going on, and I'm going to be one of them. I'm going to be out here riding my tail off. Yeah, I just went stole that 55-inch flat screen TV. I'm just playing.
Well, let me say this.
I'm just playing, folks.
And then, like the riots back in 1968, that was the worst thing that could have ever happened, you know. And I know people was upset and they was angry because Martin Luther King was killed. But why you tear up your own stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Don't tear up your stuff. Go and tear up the things that you're angry about. Boy, this city was tore up from the floor up. You know, cities across the United States, there were places just burnt down. But, you know, they fixed things up, you know. But I'm just saying, don't tear up your stuff because you're mad. Go tear up the stuff that you're mad about. Tear them police stations up. Tear them neighborhoods up. You know, I'm not promoting violence or anything like that, but I'm just saying, you don't tear up your own stuff.
You don't.
But, you know, hopefully this will be settled in a dignified way. Zimmerman will get time that he deserves. And even though Trayvon can never be brought back from this, at least his parents will have the justice that it was deserved of Trayvon and of themselves. Because I know they would be so hurt if this man got off with it. And I know if that had happened to me and he got off with it, I don't know. I really can't say what I would do because it hasn't happened to me. But I know one thing. I would be hurt. I know that much. And I've never lost a child, so I can't say how they feel. But I can say that I know they are hurt.
Yeah, they hurt.
Nothing hurts worse than losing a loved one, a child, and a mother and father. That is the worst pain that a person can endure in their lifetime. And people always say that your child is supposed to outlive the parent. But a lot of these parents, their children are being snuffed out unjustly, you know, by the policemen. You know, and it is a shame that we have to have this fear. You know, you're walking down the street and somebody comes up behind you and they have a gun because you're in the wrong neighborhood. We have two callers on the line. Let me bring them in. 717, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, hello. Is this going through?
Pardon?
Hello? I'll just make sure this is going through.
Yes.
I've been listening for a while, and I was reading the description. It's more of a comment rather than a question. I do think it's a bit of a shame that people are saying to get over this or that he should have been lynched or that, you know, something like that, that it wasn't a necessary thing or that we should forget about it or some derogatory statement. And I know I've heard some things, like someone said that, you know, the only reason this happened is because we only need one minority, like some kind of race war bullshit thing that I don't agree with. And I think that that people will learn that it's an important thing and that we should care about this, but to go for a greater thing. Like you said, it's a shame that we have these things where people are scared to go on the street because they think they might get shot or that there's some kind of discrimination. But I think that the biggest problem about it is that Trayvon didn't, I don't think he was a supporter, I think it was a support thing. I think there was facts online that you could look up from some previous Facebook posts, you could go to like Open Book, that he wasn't a supporter of RockNet, and I think that was a problem, because he didn't support computer generated by rocks. I think if they supported, and if he paid for rock-powered computers, he would not get shot. And I think that Zimmerman was a CEO of RockNet, and the reason he was shot and killed is because he was trying to sell them out to Apple. So maybe if he paid for the 250 gigawatt set, he wouldn't have got shot. And I think it's a shame. Everybody should buy computers powered by rock.
I don't know what he was rambling about, but that had nothing to do with it. That's pretty.
That was lost, baby.
Yeah.
What?
912, you're on the line. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm on the line now?
Yes.
All right. I'm calling from the speaking of the Latino community. And all that Zimmerman was trying to do was make this country good for the one minority that needs to be here. This is like Highlander shit.
So you think okay. that y'all need to be the one minority?
No, he's not even on the line anymore because I don't have time to be putting up with foolishness. You know, people who are just calling in to say something ignorant and talking about Apple and this and that. That had nothing to do, and Zimmerman being the 1% and trying to do this and do this and that. You know, take those comments somewhere else. This show is not even about that. So that's crazy, but I get the crazies here sometimes, so just bear with me.
They be scared to call into my show with that because they know I set it off.
We have another call. I'm going to bring this caller in. Caller, you on the line? Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to say about the Brockness guy I was talking before. I saw advertising for that the other day, and I would really like to invest. Do you know how I can get a hold of him?
Get a hold of who?
Of the guy that was selling Brockness.
I don't know.
People got too much time on their
hands. Yeah, he must have dialed the wrong number or something. I don't know. But to all you people out there that have something negative to say, I suggest you take it to another show because that's not how I'm handling it over here tonight. The show is serious, and if you have a serious comment or something you want to say, I don't mind you calling in and saying it. But I don't have time for any foolishness and things that you just want to get out there that have nothing to do with what we're talking about. So with that being said, I, you know, think we need to get on with this show because we have 13 minutes or we're winding down to the end of the show. So, Ms. Kane, have any last-minute comments or anything you want to put out there as far as the Zimmerman and Trayvon cases taking up and, you know, him being arrested?
I'm really not too, you know, happy with this second-degree charge that they done slapped on him, but I'm happy that they did arrest this guy. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that, you know what I'm saying, justice prevails because at the end of the day, he acted like a moron. I want to say some more stuff, but I'd like to try to keep it clean on Mom Duke's show. But I just hope that they prosecute him. That's all I can say. And to the family, you're being extra good right now. You're strong. And like I said, my prayers go out to you because I don't know if I could handle things the way that y'all are handling. And thank you and shouts out to all the black people and white people, other people
Hispanic.
Of color that, Well, them folks too. shouts out to everybody that came out and rallied against this, that did the marching, that signed the petition. And that's about all I can say. And I just, you know, will continue to keep coverage over this and hope everything works out in the best.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, it's seeming to progress a little, you know, because they did arrest him, and that's a good thing. So it looks like it's going to be something done. But, you know, like I said, hopefully Zimmerman will get the time that he deserves for this crime, and, you know, everybody can be at ease. His mom and dad can, you know, be at peace, even though they'll never get their son back, but at least they'll know that justice was served. And, you know, hopefully these things will come to an end. You know, but we have to stick together. That is one of the main problems we have. We don't stick together. We have to stick together. We have to stop being selfish. We have to stop being greedy. We just have to, you know, say enough is enough. And, you know, get up, stand up, and be about something. Don't keep letting people just step on you, walk all over you, treat you any kind of way, talk to you any kind of way. You know, we're human just like the next person. You know,
amen,
because
God see it.
Right. They consider us as being animals and monkeys and all that kind of stuff. But we're human just like them. When we're cut, we bleed the same color blood that they do. You know, the only difference between us and them is the color of our skin, and that's the only difference. But that does not make us any better or any less than what they are. We are still all equal, and we should be treated as equals. Even amongst our own race, we need to treat each other, you know, with respect, with compassion, you know, kindness and love. You know, these are things that we need to start doing. You know, once we start doing those things, you know, for each other, for ourselves, then, you know, maybe it will be a little bit better for us. But stop hating on your brother. Stop hating on your sister. Stop hating on people. You know, bring them up to where you're at. You know, never look down on a man unless you're trying to help him up. That's my motto. You see somebody that's down and out, don't keep them down and out. Try to bring them up. You know, try to help them up. Bring them up out of the gutter. You see somebody walking down the street that's hungry, get them something to eat. Give them a few dollars or whatever. You know, just because you go to work every day, you have a job, you bringing money home. Just like that paper said, we're all one paycheck from being homeless, one paycheck from not having food. The same thing that happened to them can happen to you.
Well, honey,
you know,
they
some people.
Like, I'm finna go claim my corners.
Mm-hmm. Some people that are out that are homeless are people who had good jobs, but during the recession they lost them. Some people even killed themselves because they couldn't take it. But you know, I'm not gonna ever kill myself for no reason.
Me neither. I'm too scared.
Yeah, not that I'm scared, but, you know, what's that going to solve?
Never.
You know, but I'm just saying, stop hating. Stop hating. You know, God did not put us here for that. You know, so stop hating. You know, look out for your neighbors. And if you see something strange going on in your neighborhood, call the police. Let them deal with it.
We're supposed to be having a march tomorrow for the dude that got killed up here in Hedlund, Alabama, for Patrick Humphrey, about the one that got shot and killed by the police officer.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Miss Kane, you want to tell everybody about your show, how they can hook up with you?
Well, y'all can reach me at blogtalkradio.com/Miss Kane Promotions. That's PROMOTIONS. Delicious is my co-host over there. I be on Monday through Thursday, 10 o'clock p.m. You also can follow me on Twitter at Miss Kane 808. Yep. And, I go ham over there. See, I keep it all the way live. I'm gutter mouth, and that's what I do over there. I keep it Gucci.
Mm-hmm. And she comes on Eastern Standard Time. It's 11 o'clock our time because I'm on the East Coast. She is too, but she's down in Alabama. And that's every from Monday through Thursday. You can tune in. Miss Kane got some very interesting topics going on over there. Go over there and listen to her archives and, you know, listen to her Monday through Thursday. And I am the co-host over there. So, you know, I appreciate everybody who came out, the guests in the chat room. And if you didn't catch this show tonight, you can listen to the archives, any of my shows. But remember, never look down on a man unless you're trying to help him out. With that being said, I want to say goodnight, Miss Kane, and thank you for being my guest co-host for tonight. I really do appreciate that, Rhea. My regular co-host was a little bit busy this evening and couldn't make it, so Miss Kane set in for it, and I do appreciate that.
It's all love, baby.
I know that's right, darling. So everybody have a beautiful weekend. See you guys next week. I don't know. I haven't posted a show for next week, but just keep checking back, and don't forget to check out Miss Kane Monday through Thursday over there, and see you guys next week. Good night, Miss Kane.
Good night.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
Hell be
Good night, everybody, and thank you.